today on Real Radio.
I'm getting fed up with some of the stuff I'm hearing. You'll hear a really great Bible teaching, then the very next program. They contradict one another totally. One guy will tell you, you know, if you're born again, you come to Christ, God's going to get you to heaven. And then you turn on the radio and some guy says, man, you can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be born again and wake up in hell. What is that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Defendable Faith, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is truly holy by nature? The only way one can come to God is through His gospel of grace. As we begin Galatians chapter 2, the attacks against Paul and the gospel that he preached are under increasing pressure. The Jewish leaders accused Paul of preaching a weak gospel that requires no pain and no effort. Now, these were the brethren that looked at the outward rituals to save them, while Paul argued for the internal change of the heart by the Holy Spirit. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the gospel produces changed lives. We're not saved by keeping the rules of the church. We're changed because we've embraced the gospel, which gives evidence to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And now, continuing his lesson called A Defendable Faith, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He's called us to present the truth. You and I get so caught up in the gospel presentation that if they don't accept Christ, we think we fail, don't we? Why do we think that? He didn't tell us to lead everyone to Christ. He told us to preach it to everyone. Salvation's of God. We're supposed to present it, and that person now is responsible for the decision. So don't take it so personal. You and I are only an envoy for the truth, an ambassador of the gospel. We're to present it, and God does the rest. So he's given Paul a directive. You're going to be going. And Paul is en route to go. Another thing that we notice in the latter end of verse 2 is that in this defendable gospel that we're considering, it's for all of mankind. One of the great things is that God in his gospel provides evidence where his gospel has been. A person who hears the gospel clearly, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he rose again 3 days later from the dead, and all those who put their trust in him shall be saved. Okay? The gospel always leaves evidence of where it's been. What do I mean? If the gospel's presented, some people will say yes, some people will say no. Some people will open their heart to the gospel, some people will harden themselves to it. Some people will receive it, some people will go against it and receive the stupidest things ever, once having rejected the gospel. I have seen educated, normal people who make fun and light of the gospel, walk away from it, and then get into the stupidest spiritual endeavors that you've ever heard of. How do they get there? You know anybody like that? How did they get there? Simple answer, they rejected the truth. And once a person holds firm against the rejection of the truth, they go after the most crazy things. The gospel has evidence. Paul says, I communicated to them that gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, those who had a name, those who were big in the church, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to go. I'm going to recognize the authority, the powers that be. I'm going to go and I'm going to speak to them. But here's the deal. I am going to communicate to them that gospel. What gospel? The gospel he had always preached. Was it another gospel? No, he took care of that in chapter 1. It was the gospel that has always been. I say, what do you mean? Well, first of all, call Paul the gospel the mystery The gospel that has always been, here's the deal. The gospel truth has always been. It's just the scripture makes it clear that in the latter days, he has revealed what that gospel or what that mystery is. It's not a mystery that cannot be known. It's a mystery that has been hidden only to be revealed. The gospel. See, what are you saying that for? Because I'm setting you up for something. How was Abraham saved? Anybody know? Yeah, you said that pretty confidently. How do you know that? Well, the Bible says that. Wait a minute. If Abraham was saved by faith, then what about Moses and the law? Well, hey, wait, what about David? What about King David? Wait a minute. What are we saying here? From Genesis, God speaks to his people. Remember Adam and Eve? They're really known for blowing things really bad, right? But one little part that we don't usually focus on is, did you realize that God provided for them, as he always provides, God provided for them a way of salvation? And did you know that God took care of their sin situation, both the practical part of it and through Christ, the eternal part of it? When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible, by the way, in the Hebrew language suggests that Adam and Eve were clothed in light. They didn't have clothes on, you know. When God made them, they were naked, but it wasn't a nakedness. They didn't have clothes on, but they were clothed according to what the Hebrew implies in light. Interesting how 1 John tells us how our fellowship is in light, that we walk in the light. It is implied that Adam and Eve walked in the light, that when they sinned, their light went out. I don't want to make too big of a deal about it, but you can know a Christian. You can know someone who knows the Lord, and when they've sinned away from God, have you seen their light go out? Their joy's gone? Can you imagine Adam and Eve? They're just beaming. She bites into that apple or whatever it was, avocado. We don't know what it was, but she eats this fruit and Adam shows up and he's still in light. Hi, Eve. Whoa, man, are you in trouble? What happened to you? She sinned alone outside of Adam. But God, the Bible says that God provided for them covering of animal skins. That means an animal had to die. In a perfect world, an animal had to die because of their now known nakedness. An innocent animal had to die. Can't prove it. There's no way we'll ever know. Maybe we'll know in heaven, but you've got to wonder what that animal must have been. I don't think it was a wildebeest. I don't think it was a donkey. I don't think it was a giraffe. I bet you that animal. Can't prove it. But what do you think that animal was? Oh, you guys already know. Even though it's not recorded, you already know. It's pretty amazing. You're so smart. Paul communicated to them that gospel. And he says it was the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. And so he presents it to the council that's in Jerusalem. And we're going to see how that unfolds before us in a moment. But you would think that's a pretty intimidating thing, but not for Paul, because he knew who he believed in, and he knew the gospel. And it is God's will that you have that boldness today, that you not leave this place insecure in your walk. I'm hearing a lot of things on radio. You know what? In fact, I don't even listen to radio anymore. I'm getting fed up with some of the stuff I'm hearing. You'll hear a really great Bible teaching, then the very next program, they contradict one another totally. It's like, man, what is going on? You know what? Just stay in your Bible. Just stay in your Bible. One guy will tell you, you know, if you're born again, you come to Christ, God's going to get you to heaven. Faithful is he who's promised you. And then you turn on the radio and some guy says, man, you can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be born again and wake up in hell. What is that? Poor God, he can't even save his people that he promised to save. If that were true, I would yield this pulpit now. I would get out of here and go do something worthwhile. If I invited you to a God who was capricious, well, today you're pretty good with me. Okay, I'll save you. Tomorrow, I don't know. You're acting tight. You're acting up. Look up. And you see, this is a works-based relationship with the Galatians and the legalists. That's where they were at. Insecure about heaven. Insecure about walking with God, insecure about prayer, insecure about their gifts, insecure about their vision, insecure about their mission in life. And the tragic thing about legalism is that it breeds a little tiny group of people that eventually sterilize themselves, and that fellowship dries up and blows away. Every time. And Paul is out to preach the gospel that Jesus had given to him. It was a simple gospel that changed people's lives, and it was evidenced. And Titus was a man whose life was changed. And so Paul is taking him to Jerusalem, and Paul's going to basically be saying, get a load of him. You guys want to analyze something? Analyze him. He's a Gentile. And they went, Gentile? Yeah, and he hasn't been circumcised. What? Don't tell us anymore. And you know what? He's spirit-filled. How can this be? Listen, his parents are Gentiles too. No, we can't handle that. God's gospel goes out to the entire world. Can you imagine? Think. You say, well, you know, that's so far and removed from us. Wait, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. What if only white people could be saved? How does that sit with you? What if only black people could be saved? How does that sit? Or Hispanics. Only Hispanics could be saved. That's an abomination. Would you want a God like that? No way. Justification comes by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear that when we put our faith in Christ, we're saved. And for some of you, I'm assuming, I don't know you. I mean, I don't know you who I'm talking to right now, but it's been a crowd this size. It's possible that you're here today and you have grown up in a very work-centered relationship with God. This is the way that it is, and you got to be like this and none the other. And remember, like in Acts chapter 15, they said, unless they keep the law of Moses and are circumcised, they can't go to heaven. They can't be saved. And there are people, there are churches, they call themselves churches anyway, who say, unless you're baptized by our ministers and our water, you cannot go to heaven. And they are purely taken right from Acts 15, in my opinion. These, as Paul will say, are false brethren. I don't care your name. I don't care if you're a bishop or a whatever in that movement or denomination. I don't care. I don't care to hear it. If you are saying that you and I have to add something to our salvation in Christ that's by faith alone, then you know what? Paul calls you a false brother. That's serious. Because the moment you begin to think that you can add something to what Jesus has done, you're falling from grace. And it's my opinion that if that's your position, you were never saved to begin with. Number two, a defendable faith is this. It must exclude all human effort. Look at verse 3. He says, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Why did Paul say that? Because the pressure was on for Titus to be circumcised. They wanted Titus circumcised. Paul was not going to yield. No, there's no way. And the topic, the issue, is this. It is exclusive. Salvation is exclusive of earthly or human effort. Take the word circumcision from this moment on in our study and insert probably its New Testament modern day equivalent. Anybody want to take a guess what that might be? Well, works, yeah, but baptism. Baptism. God gave circumcision to the Jewish people to be an outward sign of their inward commitment. Example, Abraham was declared righteous by God before he was ever circumcised. Abraham was declared righteous by God before Moses ever gave the law. So what's the big deal? The word righteous is God removed the sin factor from Abraham's relationship between him and God. Did you hear that? Between Abraham and God, God removed the sin factor. It was no longer going to be an issue. Well, who made that up? God did. Because he can. You ever play Monopoly with people who make up their own rules? I don't allow it because I own the game in my house. I bought it. These are the rules. It's the rules that are written in the book. No, we're going to do this. We're going to need 9 hotels with $1. No, you can't do that. Got to stick to the book. God makes the rules. Well, I don't like the rules. Too bad. He owns the book. He owns the air you're breathing. He owns you. You can't make up the rules. God says, Abraham, come out here. Genesis 15. It's glorious. Yes? Look up at the stars. Okay? Count them. What? Count them. That's a lot of stars. I can't count them. And so shall your seed be. So shall the people that will come from you, Abraham. Remember, he's an old man. Him and Sarah were way past giving birth. And Abraham, it says, believed God. And God says right there, and I account righteousness to you for believing me. That's how you get saved. You believe God. You mean I don't have to work in the children's ministry? Yeah, you do. if I only wish. No, you don't. Nothing. And for a legalist, this drives them crazy. But people say today, as I've heard it, maybe you have too. Hey, Jack, you know, my friend just died the other day. He didn't live for God, really. Didn't ever read his Bible. His life didn't change. But you know what? About 20 years ago, he went forward at a Billy Graham crusade. Whew, boy, am I glad. Glad for what? Well, that he went forward at a Billy Graham crusade. Gee, where's that in the book? How does that save you? Or this? Well, you know, this person died today, and anyway, didn't know anything about God. But boy, it's a good thing he was baptized when he was like 30 years ago. Woo! Whew. Wait, where's that in the book? You see what you're saying? The Jews back then, we'd like to make fun of them, but we can be just as guilty. Circumcision was an outward display of an inward commitment based upon Abraham believing God first. Abraham was circumcised much later, only because he was saved first. Baptism, according to the Bible, you only get baptized only after you've received Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, mind you. You have to logically say, Lord, remove me from my sinful life. I want to come to you. It has to be a logical decision. It has to be a willful choice of that individual according to the Bible. Nobody can do it for them. But see, because of carnality and because of tradition and because of man's doing, we create these things that are either attainable or so impossible. When man says, when people say, when a religious group might say to you, keep the law, you can't do it. But then they'll sprinkle you or dip you or whatever they do with you, and now you're safe. Really? That's not what the Word teaches. Can you imagine being lied to all your life and then wake up in eternity having been lied to? Read the book. The Bible says all those who put their faith in God shall never be ashamed. Say, that's cool. That's too easy, Jack. It's got to be easy. Jesus did all the work on the cross. Get a load of this. Now take the word circumcision and make it baptism. If you're trusting in baptism, listen to this. In fact, allow me to change the wording right here. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. You can turn there if you'd like or write it down. Listen to the logic. Please sit long enough to hear this. It may really liberate your life. Romans 2:25. For baptism is indeed profitable if you keep the law, or circumcision is profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, what does the Bible say? Who breaks the law? Yeah, the Bible says every human being has broken the law. I haven't, Jack. Yes, you have. Your baptism or circumcision has become unbaptism or uncircumcision. Verse 26, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted by God as circumcision? Yeah, because he's talking about the heart, not skin. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you? Paul was speaking to those legalists. Even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew. Anybody remember what the word Jew means? That's right. It means one who praises God. That's what the word Jew means, a praiser of God. Isn't that a great word? You know, when you were worshiping a little while ago, that's the word that would apply. God would have said, look, they're Jewing, or they're Judah, or they're Judy. Jude. Jew, to praise a praiser of God. He is not a Jew or a praiser of God who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward of the flesh. This is Paul the Apostle speaking, mind you. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter, that is the law, whose praise is not from men, but of God. You hear that? Sounds a little independent, doesn't it? I love that. You don't wait around for somebody to tell you, now you are, yes, now that you're a member of our fine church, you are now accepted by God. No. The moment I called upon Jesus, I was accepted by God. And you should be happy that I'm now a member of this church. I've come to serve the Lord. Ephesians 2:11 says, therefore, remember that you, once being Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by those who are circumcised, that at the time you were once without Christ in the world, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no peace or no hope in this world and without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division or separation. Isn't that great? That's why the Bible says there's no division anymore. Male, female, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, they're one in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, it's a great moment. When he said, it is finished, and he died. Remember what happened in Jerusalem at the temple? From the top to the bottom. And I, you know, it's been a while, but I think it's around 16 to 18 feet high. And it's about 3.5 to 4.5 inches thick, that massive tapestry veil that separated the Holy of Holies to the people. Jesus died on the cross. It's finished! He cries out, dies. And it's as though God takes a piece of paper and he just goes, whoosh, and the veil is ripped from top to bottom. Now listen, that is in the Bible. What I'm going to say next is not in the Bible. This is what a legalist would do. The veil's rent. Somebody get some thread. Get a ladder. Look, come on, let's go. We got to weave this thing back together and put it back together. Nobody can look in there. If this thing's open, then people are going to think they can just come to God. We've got to stitch this up and be real religious about things. We've got to keep a lid on this and control it. And God just goes and rips it wide open. And you can see other people, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. You can't stop a God who's in love with the souls of men. Can't stop him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a message called A Defendable Faith. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that your identity and your salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. A Defendable Faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we are justified through faith and not our works, should any of us boast. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. How would you like to get more of Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs? Well, you can do that at YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Watch some messages you might have missed. There are weekly messages from Pastor Jack, real life programs, some special messages on events that are coming up. There's even an interesting intro to Christianity right there at YouTube. Go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available for you right there at YouTube. So don't forget, set your notifications up to know when Pastor Jack has put something new on YouTube. Over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content. So go to YouTube and visit with us. Just look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, here's a thought. Let's say you're in the doctor's office or you're waiting in your car for some reason. You've got a little bit of time to kill. Here's an idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. What a great way to spend a few minutes or a few hours. Check in with everything that is Real Radio on a daily basis. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. Or you can click through our website if you'd like. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. We'd love to have you join us as often as you can. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.